To a Capital Call program for your Friday morning, and always an opportunity to talk with our state legislative team. And we'll take the senior chamber this morning because Mr. Fincher has been with us the last couple of weeks. Good morning, Senator. How's it going today, sir?
Well, Charlie, it's great. Good to be home. I want to thank Representative Fincher for taking the program for us these last 2 weeks. I can't really remember now why I was absent. I think the first time I was on my way back from Washington.
You were with the Lieutenant Governor one time, I believe.
D.C.
Oh, it's D.C. That's right. You were traveling back from D.C.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And then last week I was over reading.
Nowhata County?
Reading to kids at the in the library at the elementary school with Miss Horner. That was great fun. Well, it's been another busy week. Just from the Senate side, our Republican caucus has an agenda we're trying to get passed this year. We have four items on it. We've done one of them. This budget accountability office has gone through. I believe it's still, maybe the speaker still has a similar bill, but we're working on that to give us better information so that we can better appropriate your tax dollars. It's quite a significant reform, and I'm confident we're going to get it done. I know the governor supports it, so that will be huge for fiscal responsibility in state government. The governor and the Senate and the House agreed to these accountability bills, giving him direct appointment authority, the directors of five agencies, and reconfiguring their boards. So the House has some people to appoint and the Senate has people to appoint. He has signed those five bills into law. He is already taking action in the response to those bills. So lots of good things happening there on the education side. The House, of course, passed a $1,200 teacher pay raise. The Senate is very interested in seeing that money get to the school districts. Whether it goes through the formula or separately as a teacher pay raise, that's what we're trying to talk about right now, because we know funding through the formula and for the classroom is important. And, of course, so many districts would make pay increases from that. So that's a point of discussion still. The other thing the Republicans wanted to work on were diversion programs for substance abuse and mental health as part of criminal justice reform. That's probably the piece that's going to get done towards the end, because there are so many criminal justice reform bills out there. We're trying to figure out which ones will help reduce the prison population with some immediacy. One of the reasons for that is that the prisons are so crowded that the spaces that they used to use for education and programming and training, skills training, now have beds in them. So if we want to correct and help people be able to adapt and be productive when they reenter society in our communities, we've got to do that education while they are in the custody of the Department of Corrections. So reducing the number of people occupying those beds in the prisons is important. We're looking at different reforms to the pardon and parole process. We're looking at the whole fines and fees things. Do you reduce some of them? Do you get rid of some of them? Do you fund your courts and your district attorneys out of general revenue if those fines and fees are no longer available to them? We're looking at more parole, more supervision. It's just a panoply of issues in several bills. So we're trying to coalesce around what we need to do right now, what doesn't undo something that's already been done. So that's occupying a lot of my time because I'm the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. So many of those bills come to my committee, and I have one more meeting on Tuesday. So we're making decisions about which of those vehicles are going to stay alive.
Just for clarity for the audience, I was talking with Judge Thomas this morning about an hour ago on fines and fees. And again, she could not comment on a lawsuit Washington County faces on that topic. But and I would just make sure that the public understands those bills you're looking at were filed well before that lawsuit was.
Oh, we know this is an issue. We want to make sure that people pay their debt before the offense. Now, if you're incarcerated, that is a portion of the debt. But there are expenses in the prosecutorial judicial system. There is restitution to victims. But we do pay out of fines and fees some other things in state government that we might look as not being so appropriate. And maybe we need to do a better job of getting people on pay programs you know, ability to pay and signing a contract so that they are at least contributing something. But the idea that they come out of prison with these huge debts, we need to remedy that. But again, for instance, the district attorney in Washington County, I'm working with the district attorney's budgets this year, so I know some of these numbers. Less than 50% of the money he runs his office on comes from the state appropriation. Mm-hmm. So in order for him to run his office, those fines and fees are critical. As those drop, either fewer people paying them, or we reduce them, or we make some of them go away, we have to understand that there is an operational budget there that we have to address. So so I will stop there. That's kind of the things I'm thinking about right now. I've got some other things to talk about, but I will say hello to Representative Fincher for the second time today. We've been at a Farm Bureau breakfast.
I understand that.
Thank you. And just so you know, I didn't look at the time correctly, and I was there at 7 a.m., and it was cold and dark when I got there.
Well, I'll smile breakfast. When I say at least you were on time.
At least I was on time. So just talking about the budget, I think one of the challenges, we're talking about the fines and fees, is that is actually money used to run the state, but it's not appropriable, something we can appropriate. And that's been a ongoing discussion. Should we have, you might think of these as kind of off the top, but it's money that's taken in that's really under no control, that we need to do a little better job of working on with that. One thing I do want to thank the senator on is not only did she manage to get one of my bills through committee in the Senate, for people who don't know, you hear a bill in one chamber, it's got to go through committee, you hear it, it gets voted on in the chamber, if it gets out of the chamber, it goes to the other chamber, goes right back into committee, has to come out of that. And every place, there's places these things get set off to one side. Now, as we also want to thank the chairs of our committee, Senator Daniels, she has all those bills that we voted on in the House that she has to look at, and her goal is to reduce them. And I don't know the numbers right now, but part of what she will be doing is looking at those. Some won't move forward. Others, there will be amendments filed to bills in committee, which means that if it gets amended, it gets voted on the Senate, then it comes back to the House for us to work on, because you have to pass identical bills that go to the governor.
Thank you for the civics lesson. Appreciate that.
Just trying.
We probably passed it somewhere in high school, but that was then, and this is now.
That is correct. One thing we did do this week is we did affirm in the House Senate Joint Resolution Number 1, which basically is about a parental rights amendment. We sent that up to the that'll be going off to the U.S. Congress, just encouraging them to do a parental rights amendment. One of the advantages of doing this is it really helps us keep in the forefront a focus on parental rights here in Oklahoma by showing our commitment to it, and it allows us to continue the discussion.
One of the limited number of ways that the Constitution can be amended, act of Congress, Article 5, which has never happened yet, but the other way, of course, is through the states asking for it.
Yes. I am getting a lot of people who are asking for Article 5. I believe that's the Convention of States, right? But one of the – this one just suggests that the House and the Senate at the U.S. Congress – pass by two-thirds vote in each House an amendment that is then sent to the states that then requires a three-quarters approval of all the states. Getting a constitutional amendment is really, really hard, which we should all be thankful for. I am also working on a bill where we're looking at how we really improve how we do funding for virtual schools. And I've got an amendment I'm going to have to go back and work on today because I have until 4:30 on Monday to file that amendment. So... And I notice Representative Strom. I'll toss it off to you.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Terribletti.
You also have been busy the last several weeks.
Very busy. You know, I think the senator said we had a Farm Bureau breakfast this morning. I actually serve on the Government Efficiency Committee, and I've got to learn to be more efficient with my time. We, you know, we finished that deal, and there's a room full of agricultural people and educational people, and I just can't make it out of there without visiting my way through and talking to everybody and getting out, and so I'm a little behind every now and then. But I didn't have none of the bills that I co-authored for the Senate actually made it over to the House side. Some bills, such as Senator Daniels' butterfly bill, I did notice have made it into Senate omnibus deals, and so we may end up with the monarch protection for the monarch butterfly.
Yes, those all license plates all end up in one bill.
License plates, yes. They all came there. So I've been going through just really stacks on my desk of Senate bills, trying to look at things that I think will be a positive for District 10 or for our area, our neighbors. Things that I can work on those bills, I can shop those bills or lobby those bills through the hallways. I can spend my time trying to help those, and likewise, bills that I think that will have a negative effect on our neighborhood or on our community, on District 10. I can work the hallways and discuss why I feel that way with the representatives that are carrying those or other representatives. So that's how I spent the majority of my time, is on just certain bills that I think would either positively or negatively impact District 10.
When you go to events like the one you were at this morning, Farm Bureau, but it really, I guess, a generic question. Obviously, it's an opportunity for you to connect with taxpayers, whether they're actually District 10 or District 11 or live elsewhere in the state. That input still comes down to be very important to you as during the decision-making process.
Oh, absolutely it does. You know, we go down there to represent the people from right here at home, and so we have to know what the people right here at home feel about really every topic, everything from agriculture to education to criminal justice reform, anything that comes across. It's great to have an understanding of what the people here at home want and ultimately want us to do when we're down there working for them.
Just want to make sure that I got that additional comment that also kind of infers, I hope, that if people have an opinion, positive or negative, on a piece of legislation, that they get their information to the three of you. So just try to make sure that stays out there. Senator Daniels, I think we're back to you. I know I carried a news story earlier this week on, is it McKenzie's Law that you were?
Oh, Francine's Law.
Francine's Law.
Again, back to something that has to do with public safety and the judiciary. Francine Frost went missing decades ago and was determined to be a homicide, but they never found her body. Her body was less than 60 miles away in another county where an unidentified body turned up, but because of the technology at the time and the not entering things in databases, not cross-referencing, it took until just a few years ago through a circuitous route for her family to find out that body was their mom. So Francine's Law requires all law enforcement to enter missing person or unidentified body information into the National Association of Unidentified and Missing Persons database. It's called NAMIS. Mm-hmm. It's funded by the Institute of Justice, so this is not a hit to the public purse. And what it will do then, and to also submit other data, fingerprints if you have them, biometric data, descriptions, anything to help everybody using the system match up these sad situations of unidentified bodies with a potential crime that was committed elsewhere, and to not put families through the agony that the Frosts have been put through for so many years. But a great family. They come down from Wichita, Kansas every time the bill comes up. They have shepherded it through other states. It was unanimous in the House. We're going to hear it Monday. It will be unanimous in the city, Senate. And I know that April 13 is National Missing Persons Day. Mm-hmm. So it was important to them to get this bill passed by then. And perhaps if we get it passed on Monday, the governor will get it signed. It's a sad situation. But again, out of tragedy, a positive thing has happened to make it better for others who are in this situation.
I knew that at least was something that we had carried this the story early, and I wanted to get amplification on
right,
that.
Right, and just while you're on the names of bills that have people's names attached to them, we passed a state question on victims' rights this last election. Mm-hmm. It was called Marcy's Law.
Right.
And it was because of a family who went into a grocery store and came face-to-face with the accused in their daughter's murder.
District Attorney's Counsel was pushing it very heavily.
That's right. And so we're working on the final language of that. The people behind the Marcy's Law movement have interacted with us in writing the language. In fact, I'm seeing it today. I'm carrying the bill, but we kind of had general language. We already have victims' rights statutes in Oklahoma. This adds to those. So we will be hearing that bill in judiciary on Tuesday as well. Another one that's been pushed by a family, but nationwide to help everybody.
Okay. Gentlemen, we have 4 or 5 minutes, depending on your schedule. If you have something else for us.
Real quick, just say something about the budget.
Okay.
Because we finally in the Senate had budget numbers put up on the board in our caucus meeting. I know the Oklahoman today said our appropriations chairman says they're 80% there. By the reports I saw on Monday, it was all making sense to me. It's not based on asks, it's based on need. And everybody's digging in more to say, I'm looking at this budget. Here's everything they want. It's all justifiable, but they've prioritized this, and I think we should start here. So we're literally trying to be very, very purposeful, because even though there is more money this year, there's never enough money. So we're just trying to be more purposeful in the way we decide how to allocate it. But I do think, this is my third year, this is the best budget negotiation process I've ever seen, because we're all involved at some level.
Okay.
And I agree with that. One thing I do want to address on the budget is the April 1st deadline. You may have heard that for funding education, there's April 1st deadline.
Yeah.
Brief history on that is that was passed in the 90s Republicans were in the minority.
1998 or 99, because I was here for the rallies over at Central Middle School at the time.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And it was for shenanigans, you know, pull shenanigans on the Democrats. Well, oops, what goes around comes around. But part of the reason for that is school boards then had to issue teacher contracts in March, and they didn't know if they had the money. Since then, the date's been pushed out to June 1st. And if we tried to meet the April 1st deadline, because we have all these other needs that we have to do, we'd be very conservative on funding education. They would end up with far less money. And so when people ask about the April 1st deadline, it's actually good that we're doing all the budget at once instead of trying to do the education budget first.
I will just on a balance of issue, for nothing else, that statute still stands.
That is correct.
Yes, and Representative Sears and I toyed with trying to run a bill to abolish that last year because it is unrealistic. It was kicked around this year also, but no one's doing anything about it. So I just have to tell teachers, if you had your budget on April the 1st, it would be a guesstimate. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't satisfy you. So it needs to be part of the process. I know the Senate is committed to more funding for education this year. So that is going to happen. But it does need to be part of this whole process. When you're 50% of the state budget, you sort of need to be part of the whole process.
Appropriatable budget.
Representative Strom, are you going to say anything today?
Well, not if I can help it. I will say,
if you don't say anything, you're never wrong.
That's true. We worked on the education budget, if you'll wait till the end, you can likely get more. It's not, you know, it's kind of a, I don't know, fuzzy number, but if we don't jump to that, you know, in the beginning. One thing I did wanted to point out, and I've been looking for it here in my notes, I've spent quite a bit of time in the nursing home facilities over in Nowata trying to figure out what we can do to improve the situation of the people and the patients that are in those care facilities. And Senate Bill 280 was one that I'd been watching. I was trying to find the number here before I got on it, but Marcus McIntyre carried it in the House. And it would increase the reimbursement rates for nursing homes and long-term care facilities. And that was something that I was really glad to see go through. And I didn't have anything to do with it, but I have worked the hallways trying to talk people into, you know, getting behind this bill and supporting it, because I think it would help, especially our rural nursing homes and long-term care facilities.
And on that topic, I asked our appropriations chairman about it last week, and he assured me that an increase in the provider rate is, I would say, I'm fairly confident it's going to be part of the budget. We're getting a lot of emails on that. You know, we're getting a lot of cut and paste emails. But thank you for telling me you live in the district, because our email boxes now are overwhelmed with messages. And people will say, I didn't hear back from you. It's just very difficult to wade through them all. But I'm getting a lot of them on the reimbursement rate. And so I want to assure you that we're all thinking about that, and something positive is going to happen on that this year.
Thank you very much. And thank you for comments on Capitol Call this morning, brought to you by Phillips 66. And Senator Daniels, Mr. Strom, Mr. Fincher, thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you.
At Phillips 66, we don't fuel vehicles. We fuel work trips and grocery trips and circle the cul-de-sac 23 times to get